Amen. If you got your Bibles, we're going to be turning to the book of Luke.
Bless you, Lord.
Book of Luke, chapter number 23. We're going to begin our reading in verse number 33. It says, "And when they came, and when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him. And the malefactors, one on the right hand, and one on the other on the left, then saith Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots." Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for the opportunity to be here, Lord. God, I pray that you touch and help me, God, Lord, to say exactly what you want me to say, God. Lord, I pray, God, that you'd be here and help us, Lord, to fill your spirit, Lord. We thank you for all that you do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Here we're going to be looking at the first saying that Jesus says while he's on the cross. We're going to be looking and learning from this what he's saying here. Throughout the Bible, we can see lots of examples of what Jesus, that we can take from what Jesus has done and we can apply to us. And this is no exception. First, we're going to see Jesus' sincerity. He meant what he said here. He said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." He wasn't just saying that. He meant it. Amen. Amen. I'm glad he meant it because it was proved on Pentecost when 3,000 were saved. Amen. 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 I'm glad God said, "Forgive them," because I was nothing. I was unworthy. But right. God said, "Forgive them." Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. Next, we can see that we can see his suffering. Jesus had just been nailed to the cross. Amen. He was in pain, lots of pain. But what did he do? It said he prayed, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." He prayed, amen. And even if throughout the Bible we can see multiple people who's going through tough times and they pray and pray. Jesus is setting an example here. When we're going through hard times, when we're having troubles and trials, we can pray, amen, because Jesus has been there. He knows what it's like to suffer through times and to pray through things like that, amen. Next, we see his selflessness. Out of all the things God could have done while he was on the cross, he prayed. The first thing he did was pray for his enemies, amen. Yeah. It shows his selflessness. He sets an example for us. He says an example of prayer, amen. He says we need to pray. Amen. The first thing he did while he was on the cross is he prayed. Amen. The next example we see is an example of love. Amen. He prayed for his enemies because he loved them. Amen. And Matthew 5:44, it says, "But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, and do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you." Amen. God is saying we need to pray for our enemies. He's setting an example here. I'm glad God didn't just say pray for your enemies, but he never did. Amen. He prayed for his enemies. He's setting an example. Amen. Next, we see God's sovereignty. Amen. God said, "Forgive them."
Amen.
He didn't say, "Father, forgive me." Because God's perfect. Amen. Amen. This shows how perfect God was. It shows his deity. It shows that he's lived a sinless life. There's nothing to be forgiven of for him because he's lived a perfect sinless life. Yes. Amen. Amen. He said, "Father, forgive them," not "Father, forgive me."
Amen.
Because God has lived a perfect sinless life. And thankful that I serve a Savior who lived a perfect and sinful life. Amen. I don't serve a God who messed up a lot. I serve a God who is perfect and is sovereign and who rules the earth and who created the earth. Amen. Next, we'll see his schedule. God has never stopped praying for us. Amen. God prays for us and he never stops. Amen. In John 17:20, it says, "Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word." I'm glad God is praying for me, amen.
Amen.
Amen. When I feel like no one else is praying for me, I'm glad there's one that is always praying for me.
Amen.
Amen. Also in Romans 8:34, it says, "Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even on the right hand of God, who is also making intercession for us." Amen. God is always praying for us and he never stops. No matter what we're going through, what we're doing, no matter where we're at in our lives, God is praying for us, amen? And I'm glad when I'm going through life and I feel like I'm so low and God, and I feel like there's nobody around and nobody there to help me out. God is there for me. And He's always there. Amen. Jesus is praying for us. Amen. And I'm glad He never stopped.
Amen.
And He's always going to be there for us. No matter what we're going through, no matter what we're facing, God is there for us and He is praying for us.
Amen.
So we see that God, we see His sincerity, we see His suffering, we see His selflessness, His sovereignty, and His schedule. I'm glad I serve a God who is perfect in every way, who's praying for me and will never stop praying for me. No matter where I'm what I'm going through, no matter what's going on, I have a Lord that's perfect and who is praying for me.
Amen. Come on, Colt.
Verse 43, it says, "And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise."
Yeah.
Let's pray real quick. Your Father, we thank you for the day, God. Thank you for Easter, God. Lord, what it means to us as Christians, as saved, born-again believers. God, Lord, we just pray for the next few moments. God, you'll touch our lips and our mind. Lord, that we be a blessing unto the people this morning. Lord, that we may get stirred up, God, this morning, Lord, by being put in remembrance. We'll thank you and we'll praise you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. As we find our place in the text here, we know that this is the point where Jesus is having the conversation with one of the two malefactors that was crucified beside him, one on the left and one on the right. And so if we get in there, it says, "Verily I say unto thee," meaning truly I say unto thee. And I looked in that, we look at truly. We know that according to the scripture that God cannot tell a lie. The Bible says in Titus 1:2, "In hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began." So we know that He's making a true statement unto the one malefactor that's with Him on the cross, beside Him on the cross here. I also like, I want to look at this, is "today shalt thou be with me in paradise." I got thinking about that, and it's funny you said a schedule, Gabe. He had a schedule for him, and he meant today.
Right.
He didn't mean yesterday, didn't mean tomorrow, a week down the road, or a year or two coming. He meant that very day that he would be with him in paradise. It means this very day, if you look what that means. I began to think about that thief here in this context. It says, "And one of the malefactors that was hanged railed on him, saying, If thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss."
That's right.
"And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." I got thinking about that malefactor. We know that according to Matthew, I believe it says there in Matthew, that they were thieves. And I wondered about how we look at thieves. I thought about that message that got preached a couple weeks ago on a Thursday. He started talking about looking at other people,
right,
how you look at other people. I wonder, they were thieves and everybody else looked down on them because they were being crucified.
Right.
They looked at him as nothing more than a thief.
Right.
But that same Jesus that was being crucified seen him as somebody that was a sinner need of saving.
Yeah.
There it says, "Lord, remember me." I believe he got to that point that shows us again how personal salvation is.
Yeah.
That it is a whosoever salvation. Yeah. If he could save an old thief that was dying on the cross,
right,
I understand here. I know a lot of people don't believe in a deathbed confession,
right,
but I believe this blows that out of the water here because he was on the brink of death. He was moments away from his last breath on this earth. And the last words that I see there is, "Lord, remember me." And I got thinking about that conversation. We know one was on the left and one was on the right, that they would have been having that conversation back and forth between the thieves. But I got thinking about when he had said, "Lord, remember me." I got thinking about what he had whispered it.
Right.
I don't think he had whispered it. Yeah. I think he had been to that point that he had been in such agony. We know he was suffering the same punishment there as Christ. He was crucified. But we see there that I believe that he had been shouting it. I believe he had been to that point that he had been saying, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." Not a kingdom, but thy kingdom.
Right.
We see a perfect plan of salvation right here. we see that he's come to the realization of who he is, that he's a sinner. He says, I know I've got what's coming to me. He said, I know I'm a sinner. He says, I know that we're just receiving what we deserve. What we deserve. And it'd do us good every once in a while to realize what we really deserved. And it ain't heaven, I can promise you that. We don't. I know I definitely don't deserve heaven. But I thank God he set it up that I can. I got thinking about Warren Wiersbe is talking about the faith of this man. The faith of that thief there. That he said he's watching a man dying. He sees a dying man asking him for salvation. You see the faith there that was put forth by that thief. But I also thought about how this throws at all these other ideologies. I got thinking about that work salvation. That work salvation that I tried to get through with for a long time. We see that don't work here. He needed to be saved. Amen. And we see there that he didn't have nothing to bring to the Lord. He didn't have a thing to bring to the Lord. All he had was his sin and his shame. But amen, that was just enough. All he needed was some repentance to realize who he was, but more importantly, who Christ was and what he was in need of. I thought, thinking about that purgatory, I'm glad there that there ain't no purgatory that I've got to go to, that I ain't got to be counting on somebody else to pray me through, to get me through, or try to get me out. Because the Bible says, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. We go into Scripture there, it says, today is the day of salvation. That he's got things on a schedule, Brother Gabe, and today is the day. Again, if you ain't saved, amen, here's a perfect outline of salvation, realizing who you are, what you're in need of, but more importantly, who he is, that he's the thrice holy Savior, that he sits upon that throne, that he's willing to save anybody that would call upon his name.
That's right. Amen. Who had three?
Amen. If you got your Bibles, go to John 19.
Bless you.
John 19, we're going to begin reading in verse number 26. It says, when Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciples standing by whom he loved, he saith unto his mother, woman, behold thy son. And he saith he to the disciple, behold thy mother. And from that hour the disciple took her unto his own home. Let's pray. God, thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to be here, God, and to preach your word. God, I pray that you'd help me, Lord, to say exactly what it is you want me to say, God. I pray that you'd touch and be with me, God, and we thank you for all that you do, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen. We're going to be looking at Jesus' third saying on the cross. He's talking to Mary, saying, behold thy son. And then he's looking at John and he's saying, behold thy mother. We're going to be looking at a few things here about Jesus talking to John here. First we see that John, you got to be close enough for God to see you. Did you know John was the only disciple that was at the foot of the cross? John was the only one there. And that's a good example for us, because if we're going to be seen by God, we got to show up. We got to be there. Amen. If God's going to use us to do anything, we got to come willing to do something. Amen. We can't just lollygag around and not show up for anything. If God's going to use us, we got to show up and we got to be willing to serve. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. We see that he was the only disciple at the cross, and he had to be close enough to the cross to be seen. He had to be there.
Right.
We're gonna see. We gotta be close enough to hear him.
Right.
This is probably something that Jesus did not say very loud, and John had to be close to hear what Jesus said to him.
Right.
If we're gonna hear what God has to say to us, we gotta be close to him. Amen.
Amen.
James 4:8 says, draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you.
Right.
Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded.
Right.
Amen. The Bible tells us to get close to God, amen.
Right.
And he didn't just say that just because. He said that for a reason. And the reason is because if we're going to hear God, we got to be close to God, amen.
Right.
And ways we can get close to God is by reading the Bible, amen. And that is I believe that the Bible is the most important book in the world, amen?
Amen.
And we should start reading it like it's the most important book in the world,
right.
Amen? And I believe that another way to get close to God is through prayer and talking to him, amen?
Right.
It's hard to get close to someone if you never talk to them. Amen. And so if we're going to get close to God so we can hear what he has to say back to us, we got to read the word and hear from God and we got to pray to him. Amen.
Yeah.
Next, we see we got to get close enough for him to send you. Amen. John got a new family. And when he got close to the cross, amen. Amen. When we get close, when we get close to the cross, we get a new family. Amen. We get a new church family, a new family in, through Christ. Amen. Amen. I'm thankful for my church family this morning. My church, I love my church family. It's my favorite people. I love to hang out and be around people that I can talk about the Bible with and I can worship with. Amen.
Amen.
Next, we see he had a new way to follow. He asked John to do something he hadn't ever done before. Amen.
Right.
Sometimes God is going to ask us to do stuff we haven't ever done before.
Amen.
Amen. But lastly, we see the new friendship. Amen. He received the Holy Spirit at the day of Pentecost, which enabled him to do what God had asked him to do.
Right.
Amen. God won't ever do, won't ask us to do anything that he won't enable us to do.
Amen.
Amen. If God has asked you for something, he will enable you to do it.
Right.
He won't just give you something you cannot do, because God is all powerful. He can, through the Bible says through Christ, we can do anything.
Right.
And we shouldn't, when God gives us something to do, we shouldn't go out and be like, oh, we can't do this. Because God says he won't give us something that we cannot do, because he will enable us to do it. Amen.
Amen.
So we need to get close to the cross so that we can, so that he can see us. Next, we got to get close to the cross so we can hear him. Amen. We need to hear what he says.
Right.
And we need to get close enough to the cross for him to send you. So for him to send you to do what he has asked you to do. Amen.
Amen.
And we don't need to put it off. We need to do what he says, because
right.
'cause God has give us the Holy Ghost to enable us to do what he has asked
Amen.
Us to do. God. And yeah.
You're done.
Yeah.
Number 4.
Bless it. You're going to pray real hard for me, okay? I'm going to start by telling you what the saying is from the cross. Jesus cried, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, which means, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? I'm going to give you a little bit of background here. I'm going to read you a few verses, and we're going to try to share the burden of her heart with you. Verse 41, we'll start our reading. It says, likewise also the chief priests mocking him with the scribes and elders said, he saved others, himself he cannot save. If he be the king of Israel, let him now come down from the cross, and we will believe him. The Jews were always looking for a sign.
Right.
He trusted in God, let him deliver him now, if he will save him. For he said, I am the Son of God. How true. The thieves also, which were crucified with him, cast the same in his teeth. In these first four verses here, we find that his countrymen forsook him.
Yep.
Those that were of the same nation as him gave up on Christ. They had no love for him. They cast him aside just like some beggar. And they have no love for God in their hearts. But that didn't break Christ.
Right.
Notice what happens in verse 45. Now from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land unto the ninth hour. In this verse we find that creation forsook Christ.
Yeah.
Do you understand what that means? Jesus Christ himself spoke this thing into existence. The very thing that he put into being has now forsaken him. His creation no longer shines on him. There was darkness.
Yeah.
Suffering.
Yeah.
But we notice in verse 46, let's read that. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice. It doesn't say that he whispered. He said, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani."
Yeah.
This is the very Son of God. This is the very Son of God, the only begotten. And he is now looking through the heavens, looking for his own Father. And he says, "Why hast thou forsaken me?" He has never been separated from God, ever. This is a first for him. He is suffering a pain that he has never been through in his life. He's not only bore the sins of all mankind, he's not only suffering and bleeding and dying on a cross, but now his own Father has turned from him. Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. These words he spoke in pain and anguish as the Creator forsook Christ.
Yeah.
There was nothing else that could have happened that would have been any worse for Jesus at this moment. Do you understand that Jesus Christ had always been there for everyone? And had never been separated from the Father.
Yeah.
And now, for my sins, for your sins, Jesus is being separated from the very God of the universe. What a Savior. Thank God for my Savior. There's nobody else like Him. There's nobody else like Him. Amen.
That's exactly right.
Number five.
Amen. Thank God. Who's next? That's right.
John chapter number 19.
Bless.
John chapter number 19, and we'll start reading here in verse number 28.
Bless.
The Bible says, after this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the Scriptures might be fulfilled, saith, "I thirst."
Yeah.
And there was set a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled a sponge with vinegar and put it upon hyssop and put it to his mouth. Let's pray. Dear Father, Lord, I pray, God, that you would touch, help, Lord, in the preaching of your word, Lord. I pray, God, if there's one here that's lost, you'd save before it's eternally too late, God. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Here we see the very God of heaven, the one who, like Billy said, was the Creator. He was the one that spoke everything into existence, the one who created the water and the streams and in the oceans. He says that he is thirsting. Now, I want you to notice with me the condition of Christ's humanity. Now, he was not a divine man, and he was not a humanized God, but he was 100% God, and he was 100% man. He was the God man. He was 100%, even though he was 100% God, he felt the pain of being a 100% man. He felt the suffering. He went through the pain and the agony. He did not cease to be God, but he took upon the form of flesh. John, in the chapter number 1, we see in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then verse number 14, he says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld his glory and the glory of God, and the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and full of truth. So we see here that he had no drink for over 20 plus hours. He took the beating. He lost the blood. He suffered through the heat. He suffered the crucifixion. And he says, "I thirst." But I want you... We see here that Christ, he's been through the pain. He's been there. He's went through the pain, the suffering. Have you ever had pain? So is Christ. Have you ever been misrepresented? You ever been misunderstood? So is Christ. You ever been forsaken by your friends? So is Christ. Christ understands us because he's been there. He understands our sufferings. But I want to go a step further than that and say that yes, Christ suffered. Yes, he was thirsty. But that's not why he said, "I thirst." We see here in verse number 28, he said, after this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the Scriptures might be fulfilled, saith, I thirst. I want you to notice with me, secondly, the control of Christ's knowledge. He didn't just know the Word. He didn't just know that the Scripture needed to be fulfilled. But he didn't just know the Word. He was the Word. Amen. In John chapter 1, verse number 14, we said that the Word was made flesh and dwelled among us. Amen. He knew the Scriptures that the Scriptures might be fulfilled. Jesus' life, He fulfilled 351 Scriptures from the Old Testament. Yeah. And this is just another one of the Scriptures that He fulfilled. Throughout the Old Testament, we see that the Scriptures prophesied of His humanity and His deity. Wow. In Isaiah chapter number 4 and verse number 6, He is the Prince of Peace. In Isaiah chapter number 4 verse number 2, He is the branch of the Lord. In Micah 5 and 2, He is the ruler of Israel. We see He is prophesied as the deity, but He is also prophesied in His humanity. Genesis 3:15 says that He is the woman's seed. In 2 Samuel chapter number 7, He said that He is a lineal descendant of David. In Isaiah chapter 53 and verse number 3, He said He is the man of sorrows. Amen. The Bible says that He made Himself of no reputation, and He took upon the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of man. Amen. He was in control, even though He went through the sufferings of the cross. Even though He thirsted, we see here, He bore the suffering. He did it for us. Amen. In Psalms chapter number 69 and verse number 21, the Bible says, "They gave me also gall for my meat, and in my thirst they gave me vinegar to drink." We see here that He is fulfilling the Scripture. Even in Christ's suffering, even through His death, He was still in complete control. He never lost one little bit of what was happening. He was still in complete control, even hanging there on the cross.
Yeah.
We see the condition of Christ's humanity. We see the control of Christ's knowledge. We see the compassion of Christ's suffering.
Yeah.
Throughout the Gospels, He was called the well of living water. Amen. The well of living water was thirsting on the cross. Amen. He bore the sufferings so that we would never thirst. John chapter number 4, verse number 14 says, "But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of living water, springing up into everlasting life." Amen. He was the living water. He bore the pain. He died on Calvary's cross for my sins. Amen. And then in Revelation chapter number 7, verse number 16, it says that they shall hunger no more, neither thirst anymore. Amen. I'm going to a land where there's never going to be any more hunger. There's not going to be any more thirst. Amen. Because He thirsted for me. Amen. He was the well of living water. And then in verse number 17, it says, "For the Lamb."
Yeah.
Revelation 7, chapter number 17, He says, "For the Lamb, which is in the midst of the throne, shall feed them and shall lead them into living in fountains of waters." Amen. He's leading us into the water. Amen. I'm thankful that He said, "I thirst." Amen. There on the cross.
Who's next? I want to say one thing. Let me say one thing. He's talking about that control. I seen that in my study this week. The Lord took that napkin and He folded it. They noticed it when they got to the tomb. They said, "That's the head napkin folded by." Y'all heard that preached on, right? You know what that shows us? That shows us that when the Lord got up, He was in complete control. He got up and He took that bandage off and He wrapped that thing up and He folded it up and He took His time. You get a hold of that in a while. Complete control. Come on, man.
Only place there where truth was at, John 19. And we're going back up and read verse 28 one more time. It said, "After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were accomplished, that the Scripture might be fulfilled, saith, I thirst." Now, if you'll skip down to verse 30. "When Jesus, therefore, had received the vinegar, He said, 'It is finished.' And He bowed His head and gave up the ghost." We find in verse number 28 that Jesus made a decision. He said, it says there, "Knowing that all things were now accomplished."
Right.
There was nothing else left for Him to do. He had fulfilled
everything that the Father sent him here to do. He had done all that God had put on him.
Yes.
He had performed every deed. And then we've noticed in verse 30 that there was a declaration made. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, "It is finished."
Right.
There's no other thing
Amen.
That God could have done. No other thing that Jesus could have done there to make it any better.
Yeah.
It was already good enough.
Right.
It was the best that man could receive.
Right.
It was truly finished. It's a finished work.
Amen.
No longer does mankind have to worry. No longer does mankind have to offer sacrifices. I want to take you over into Hebrews for just a moment. Hebrews chapter 10. And we'll read a few verses here. Your Bible says in verse number 9, "Then said he, Lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second. By the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oft times the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sin forever, sat down on the right hand of God. From henceforth, expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified."
Amen.
If you ain't got nothing else to be happy about, if you're saved by the grace of God, you have the best gift that could ever be received by mankind. Because you now have eternal life. That one sacrifice that Jesus made on the cross was enough.
Amen, brother.
It is finished.
Yes!
No more do I have to worry about trying to be good enough, Brother Colton, trying to live by that law.
Right.
No longer do I have to depend on self to try to get there, because it ain't me.
That's right.
It's through and by the blood of Jesus Christ. Because it is truly finished this morning. Because it wasn't just enough for him to die on the cross. He had to rise on that third day. He said, "I have power to lay down my life, and I have power to take it up again." Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord this morning for finishing that work on Calvary.
Get your
Bible. We'll go to Luke chapter number 23. Luke 23 and verse number 46. Luke 23 and 46. It says, "And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And having said thus, he gave up the ghost." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, come to you in prayer. Lord, thank you for salvation. Lord, thank you for dying on that cross at Calvary for me. Lord, I thank you for shedding that blood for me and all these people that's sitting in this church this morning, Lord. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you just help us, Lord. If there's anybody in this building lost, Lord, that you'll save them before it's eternally too late. I just want to take a second before I get into this and thank God for Calvary.
Amen.
Thank God while he was on that cross. He said, "Father, forgive them."
Yeah.
He said, "Forgive them, for they know not."
Right.
I'm the one that sent him to that cross.
Yeah.
Amen. I'm the one. I'm the reason he hung on that cross.
Amen. Bless it, Lord.
Says, "Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit." And see, this is some good salvation verse right here. It says that command is to commit, to deliver, to entrust, or put into the care of another.
Yeah.
He said, "Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit." And he gave up the ghost. He came on earth. He's done. He's finished. John 17:4 says, "I have glorified thee on earth. I have finished the work thou gavest me to do."
Yeah.
He's hung on that cross and he says, "It's finished."
Right.
Brother Billy, it is finished.
Right.
He said, "Father, I'm yours. Take me.
Yeah.
Bring me." He said, "I'm putting my spirit. I'm giving myself back to you."
Right.
I'm glad.
Yeah.
I commended myself to him.
Amen.
I can't help the fact there's somebody in this building this morning that's lost.
Right.
That's dying and going to hell.
Yeah. Bless you.
Said, Father, to thy hands I commend my spirit.
Heaven.
The Bible said, call up on the name of the Lord.
Yes.
All you gotta do is call up on his name.
That's right.
We wouldn't have Easter Sunday if it wasn't for that cross.
Amen.
You know, Easter Sunday, so he come back.
Right.
The third morning, he rose from the grave.
That's right. Amen.
So we don't have to die and go to hell.
Amen.
He shed his blood. Yeah. He rose from the grave again, so we don't have to die.
That's right.
And go to hell.
Amen.
Just call upon his name this morning.
That's right.
Commend your spirit. Commend your soul to the Lord this morning.
Yes.
Just call upon his name and put your trust, put your faith into God.
That's right.
Because it is finished this morning.
Amen.
I don't have to die. I don't have to worry dying and going to hell.
That's right.
Because I commended myself to God. Because I accepted that bloodshed on Calvary. And you don't have to walk out them back doors this morning.
That's right.
Lost. And go to hell.
That's right.
Because of that cross.
Amen.
Because of that cross, you don't have to worry about spending eternity tormented by the flame.
That's right.
You don't have to worry about that this morning. Just call upon his name and accept the blood of Christ.
Thank God.
Amen.
Well, that was good preaching all the way around. Amen.
Amen.
Anybody got a word on your heart? Something you need to say or do this morning before we change the service here just a little bit?